The long and winding road leads us here to the doorstep of the postseason. One win, a little bit of help away from ending 17 seasons of misery.
Allen steps up. Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first. Now, how many quarterbacks have you ever seen hurdle anyone?
He throws. Touchdown! Andre Reed for the touchdown! The Bills have scored!
Snow is falling all around me. Children playing, having fun. It's the season. Love and understanding. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. You're listening to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues. This is episode 45. I had to remember there because, again, I totally lost count. And you are listening to Matt and Alex on the Red, White and Buffalo Blues. As I mentioned, Alex, how are you doing? You've calmed down from last night, and what can we take away from the, I don't know how to put it.
It doesn't matter. Tense. The Bills are in the playoffs. Last night didn't matter.
That's fair.
It was a game where we were like, yay, aw, yay, aw, god damn it. Then breathe.
Yeah.
The Bills are in the playoffs. It doesn't matter. We will eventually, I'm going to say, next year, we're going to win both Patriots games next year. Next year is going to be the year that we overtake the Patriots for the division. Everything's okay. Let's go win a playoff game.
And I'm one game away from actually predicting a perfect, predicting the correct record at the beginning of the season with 11-5.
Did I have 10-6, I think? So.
I believe you did, yes.
Well, if we sit everyone next week, then we might be, so.
Yeah, possibly. Well, we know the Jets are up on the Steelers, but.
Well, isn't that's... it LaDainian Waddle, right?
Is that one of LaDainian, yeah.
He, wow, the Giants kicker is a fatty. Anyway, sorry, I'm currently also watching Red Zone as my two fantasy football finals are going on. No, he said it would be silly for us to bench our starters. So I think that's something that we could talk about on the preview show. But yeah, so let's talk about what the hell happened last night.
Well, I know one thing. I managed to get my missus off to bed early after she was watching the game with me, just by shouting at the officials like I always do.
Yeah, that's a good way to get rid of any company when you start yelling at an inanimate object. I do it too, so, you know.
But
yeah, man, let me tell you.
I mean, it's fair play. My
wife fell asleep playing Words with Friends. She says she can multitask, so she's watching the game and playing Words with Friends. But yeah, she fell asleep with this, holding the screen up with this with the screen on. So I mean, you know, kudos to her. That's one hell of a talent.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that fourth quarter though. I mean, the Patriots are doing what they can, what they have to. They put up 11 points. We put up zero. It was a good time to fall asleep. I mean, on that last drive, did you believe that we were going to score? I had zero confidence, even though we're actually on the nine. Somehow it's not going to happen. I just didn't believe it.
I actually did. I actually thought we could actually do it. I mean, this is. I'm going to put a stat before I go on there, because this is probably something that is interesting, possibly to most people, but and it probably showed up on the. During the game last night, Josh Allen is the only qualified quarterback to not throw an interception in the fourth quarter this season. Armed with that, I thought we could get a chance. I mean, yes, the pass to Knox was a little bit too high, but there was still some good stuff there. If it wasn't for a missed face mask call, yeah, I'm gonna drop it there. The officiating was awful, but that missed face mask call could have helped us out a lot more, that we would be able to get a little bit closer with a little bit more time remaining. Then we could see what happening. But that fourth quarter, that final drive, I did think that something could happen. I think we could have tied that game up. I'd rather have seen us go for the take the tie and then take it into overtime than anything from there is a bonus. But
I think the reason why I was so angry on that final drive and just in total disbelief of our ability to score was because the Patriots shouldn't have scored on the previous drive. That was the Rex Burkhead touchdown where he broke 50 tackles. And, I mean, you look at it, that's probably the storyline of the game. Missed tackles. Just all day, just missing guys. And one thing that I noticed in watching the replays of some of their screens was, you know, when situational awareness, play recognition, Shaq Lawson was in coverage, let a guy by him to go to try and get Brady, and Brady hit the guy. I think it was a James White screen that went for like 20, and then Burkhead had one for 30, where I think it was on the other side, Murphy got caught between should I rush the passer or should I follow the receiver. And in those instances, when you're like 4 yards away from the quarterback and you see a guy run past you that's not an offensive lineman, you need to just stick with that guy. I mean, you're not going to get to the quarterback in time. I mean, he's with Brady, he's either going to ground it, which he did, not a penalty. Great job, league. just so god awful with that stuff.
Yes.
And then or he's just going to throw it out of bounds. So we gave up some chunk plays. I think the most important thing is that, you know, we can talk about the missed tackles, using Trent Murphy too much, the poor screen game, but and even the bad run defense where Sonny Michel had his best game of the year. How? Rex Burkhead, why? They only allowed 2 touchdowns, and that's what you ask of your defense.
Yeah. No, I do get that. I mean, it seems like the can't play against the screen is probably a weakness that potentially if all these all the playoff teams, so it's more likely going to be Houston we're going to be facing in the wild card, they're going to be able to look at that and say, look, they can't defend screen, we play on there. That's something they'll
need
to work.
And they got Duke Johnson, who's good at that stuff. He's a great receiving running back.
But yeah, it's the missed tackles again. It's what Sean McDermott prides himself on. They're very disciplined in their tackles in there. But
I remember there was one to Edelman, a throw over the middle to Edelman where Poyer goes in with the shoulder instead of a wrap tackle. I thought it was for on one play, maybe it was twice, but on one play I remember vividly that it was Poyer. Okay. He went for the big hit instead of the wrap tackle, then Edelman got like 10 yards after it. And it's just make the smart tackle. You know, go for the fumble when you can punch it out. Don't go for the fumble on the big hit. Don't try and get on SportsCenter with a big hit. Just make the tackle, because then if you miss it, it's such a high, you know, chance of failure, because the guy moves 1 centimeter over and you miss the tackle, or you bounce off of him. Just make the form tackle and get him down.
Yeah, I think as much as
Edelman's a little guy. It's like Michael Thomas, you're not gonna rap tackle him.
Oh yeah,
but
for
then again, if I saw Edelman over the middle, I'd try and take his head off too, because I can't stand that guy.
Yeah, I think it probably put it a bit more on, in my take, put a bit more on the defense, the fact that, yes, okay, they only allowed 2 touchdowns in there, but where was the pressure on Brady from it?
No, and they had pressure all day. That was so bad.
And they had Marshall Newhouse at right tackle, the guy we shipped off to the Patriots, and they still didn't manage to record a sack on them, on Brady. Then obviously the run game, all that.
Not even a pressure, I think. Maybe like 2 pressures all game, and just never close sack.
And this defense and how we've played the last couple of games. Okay, last week against Pittsburgh, we were against Duck Hodges, and we could get to him quite quite easily. We can wrestle him, being obviously an undrafted rookie. And even Lamar Jackson, we did scare and pressure him quite a bit, even though he was more of a runner at times. But when you've got a guy like Brady, and obviously Newhouse as your right tackle, you're expected to get at least a few more pressures, even a few more hits.
It was
on him,
so rare where we brought any extra pressure. I mean, we were just going with a 4-man rush against a really good offensive line, who plays well as a unit. And and Trent Murphy was just out there too much. Yeah. I mean, it really needed to be more Shaq in Hughes, with more Oliver and less of Starr. But I mean, they were running it. The Patriots did exactly what you're supposed to do because they're the best coach team in football.
Exactly,
work on the weakness of your opponent. So yeah, they ran by putting us in nickel, and we couldn't fill the gaps. And when they threw it, they did it in a situation where, they forced us to not blitz because, of openings in our zone. They forced us into playing bad defense. And the great thing is that even when we're forced to play bad defense, we don't play bad defense.
Yeah.
I mean, if the worst thing about the game was allowing long drives on field goals, and that's what our offense couldn't do. The Patriots punted twice. We punted 6 times. And yeah, the only reason why they didn't punt as many times as they could was because of their ability to get into field goal range, where we went 3 and out 4 times. And it's just that's how we lost. I mean,
yeah,
we scored 2 touchdowns, they scored 2 touchdowns. But their offense got them in position to score field goals. And our offense, when it didn't work on first down, it was like, oh, shit, we're done. I mean, just the flow of the game. And, I'm done blaming Dable, because I think he's done everything he can to get the most out of Josh. I think that our offensive line in the run blocking didn't get it done.
So
that's
for sure
one of the biggest things, switching to the offense now, is our run blocking wasn't able to do anything for Singletary. Singletary was out there playing like a man, bouncing off dudes, getting extra yards. He played his ass off. We just didn't open up any holes for him. And that's what stifled most of our drives. And also, Josh being, again, in the 50% range, just missing a few here and there. The drops weren't a problem this week like they have been in the past. Beasley had himself a damn game.
Yeah.
It's just, this is what a team on the cusp looks like.
Yeah.
And then in the offseason, they fix all this stuff. That's why I'm talking about what we're going to be next year is going to be legit.
Yeah, I think it is a case that we've been saying it, regardless of how the ball's been coaching, whether it's been on the sideline or in the booth and all that. But this is what probably not all Bills fans, whether it be UK, World, USA or anything like that, are actually saying is that this, and we keep saying it, it's a work in progress offense. I think you've seen enough this season with the amount of pieces. What was it, about 16 different free agents on the offense this off season, and to get them into a position where we've got a playoff picture and we've beaten a team with a top 5 defense, we've played close to the top 2 teams in the AFC with top 5 defenses, shows credit to what they're building. And yeah, what comes up next year is going to be so much fun to watch, and hopefully they'll work on a lot more. I mean, you're just looking at it, you've got, and how the way John Brown actually smoked Gilmore, it was unbelievable. I think,
yeah, Brown won the battle, but Gilmore won the war. I mean, that was his only catch of the game. I mean, not to take anything away from Brown, there was like 2 or 3 throws that were in close, and Brown didn't get position, or the defender made a really good play on it. But yeah, it's just John Brown had a did what he needed to do and make that one play, and what a play it was. I can't say enough good things about him. I know that in the post-game press conference in the locker room, someone asked them about Bills media or on Twitter asking for a number one wide receiver. I mean, why would you ask that? Like, the team just lost, and you're asking this guy who just did an amazing play. Only one catch again, yeah, but he made his play. He did his job, scored a touchdown, 50 yards. That's all you want, you know. And then just you're going to ask him, hey, you know, Bill's Twitter wants more, wants someone better than you. Like, don't do that.
Yeah.
And forget the name of the reporter, but, like, I get that, you know, journalism nowadays is all about, you know, gotcha, you know, journalism and, you know, getting sound bites and getting emotion out of players. But, you know, don't kick a man when he's down. He just lost a big game.
Exactly.
And John Brown's putting up wide receiver one numbers. So,
yeah. I think,
you know, don't say we want someone better than him. John Brown's doing his goddamn job, you know?
Yeah, that's why I've always said, what do you define as a number one receiver? Do the Bills really need an out and out number one receiver? I mean, you take John Brown. We've seen they've taken John Brown out the game, but they've still been able to move the chains and get plays out of Beasley. You take Beasley out of the game, they've had Dawson Knox a couple of times. Just adding another receiver, not necessarily a number one type wide receiver.
A number one receiver is you get that in the stats. You look at a guy like Corey Davis in Tennessee. He's got the size of a number one receiver. The dude isn't good at football. You know? I mean, guys who are 6'2", 200+, you know, that there's a lot of guys in the league who look like Julio Jones, but there's only like two guys, him and Michael Thomas, that can actually do it.
Yeah.
So getting that physical looking number one wide receiver, that DK Metcalf, you know, the idea of it is great, but once they're on the field, John Brown's putting up numbers that, you know, no, a number one wide receiver would.
Yeah,
so
and you look,
we
and
have
you look at
the number one receiver.
Yeah, and you look at the Patriots. I mean, they don't really at the moment have an out and out number one wide receiver. I mean,
they drafted a kid to become that in a few years, but Brady to Edelman, I mean, he's been a number one wide receiver for the last 5 years, and he's a little guy. So it's all about how your offense schemes to play to the strengths of your players. That's what creates the quote unquote number one wide receiver.
Exactly. And there's this one tweet I had on Twitter, which maybe we can discuss possibly, or at least have a quick go over. It was from Go Bills UK. He goes, we're just crying out, obviously, for big receivers, but why aren't we using Croft and Knox more on two tight end sets? Because it's not like it didn't work well with the Ravens. Both are 6'5 and can catch. I mean,
yeah,
Dawson,
I mean, the
Knox
Patriots
had that.
Ran a lot of two tight end sets last year, too.
Yeah, so is it a case that can be put down to the case? Is it a case for the number one wide receiver, a big body target like a Metcalf, like a Corey Davis, an AJ Green, Calvin Johnson type player? Or is it a case, as we've said, you're scheming, you're putting your two tight ends out there trying to create those mismatches in the against the defense?
I think with the two tight end set discussion, I think you're still you're a year away from Knox being able to be an every down player. The dude just didn't get enough attention in college, so they saw him as someone who can run a route, who can block, but he just needs a year of experience to kind of get comfortable. So I think Knox next year is going to have a big year, where you can have him and Croft, or him and like Lee Smith, one block, one goes out, you know, vice versa. Because if you want a 50-50 guy, I think that's going to be Dawson Knox next year. He's going to be, I mean, if you want, you know, a Gronk, This is the closest we've ever had to a top tight end.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And I think he will, as you say, he will break out next year. Yes. So many people have cursed him for the amount of drops, and especially on important drives.
He had five catches in college or something like that, right? So,
I think it was something like that. I didn't know he wasn't that.
He had catches. I was just being facetious.
Yeah, but he had in college. He had the three wide receivers: AJ Brown, Metcalf, and I cannot think of the life.
It was those two and Knox. I don't think that they had another guy.
No, they had three on there, and Knox was pretty much the fourth option read on there sometimes, hence why he didn't get that many targets. But yeah, we blame the guy for drops and all that, but you're then looking at college, you're looking at how he's now trying to adjust to the
He's a rookie. I mean, I'm gonna make that excuse for a rookie. Next year, if he gets like 5+ drops, then we can talk about, I don't know, can you trust him? But every time he has a drop later in the game or the next game, the dude does something big.
Exactly.
So if you're going to have a game where Josh is throwing 30, 40 times, then that's when you'll see Beasley get 10 for 70 and Knox with 5 for, you know, like 50 and Brown goes big. But that's not the game we play yet. I think that maybe next year we might be more of a gun offense. I don't know. Yeah. It's just in this game, though, let's just try and stay focused on the Patriots.
Yeah.
Just the reason we lost is because the offense couldn't move the ball. I mean, you have drives of 6 plays for 2 minutes and a punt, 3 plays, 1.5 minutes, 4 yards, punt, 3 plays, 25 seconds, 4 yards. Punt. 3 plays, 2 minutes, 9 yards, punt in the third quarter. In the fourth quarter, 3 and out, minus 5 yards in a punt at the 10-minute mark. You need your offense to get into field goal range on those drives, because in the playoffs, they all kind of look like the Patriots.
Yeah.
They're going to be good at offense or good at defense, one or the other. Most teams, like the Ravens, will be good at both. You can't afford to punt 6 times in a playoff game.
Yeah,
so the offense needs to be able to at least get into field goal range on half of those punts.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, you can also look at the fact that another stat on there is that in that second quarter, right before halftime, the Bills received the ball with 33 seconds left and scored the touchdown.
Yeah.
So it shows you can do that.
Something that they haven't done all year. They always run out the clock there. And especially because we were going to get the ball. So we're well, here we go again. But they did it fantastic against the best defense in the league. So, I mean, that was great to see. So if we more aggressiveness like that means that they trust Josh more. And as the year goes on, obviously it's the end of the year, but going into next year, expect more aggressiveness like that. And hopefully we see some of that in the playoff game.
Yeah, I mean, to add on to that stat, it was actually only the third time since Belichick took over the Patriots that a team got the ball with under a minute left in the half and scored a touchdown against the Patriots.
Usually they're ready for stuff like that. So that was great.
You'll be surprised. Who do you think, which team do you think, or team do you think have done that? The other two.
Miami.
Yeah, both times.
And the Jets.
Nope. Dolphins both times, 2014,
oh, really?
2018.
Oh, wow. Okay. I mean, it's really easy to guess one in the division just because of the sheer number of games played. I was just going based on, you know, probability there.
No, but I mean, if we go back to it, obviously, I'm going to quickly type on the defense a bit. Obviously, you mentioned it to me, but we've always had Trey White locked down the better receiver. I think he was on Harry all game. You said to me when we were actually chatting, why did they not put him on Edelman? Because I think you nullify him there. Mm-hmm. Levi Wallace Levi Watts had a strongish game. Kevin Johnson whiffed a bit, but you're taking out Harry. You're taking out
There's got to be a reason why, right?
Yeah.
So I think that it's either they made the wrong game plan to say anyone can match up against anyone. But we played soft zones all game and gave Brady time, and Edelman found the spot every time.
Yeah.
If you did more man-to-man with blitzing against a group of wide receivers that are bad, I think that's what you should have done with White on Edelman. Now, the reason, if anything, why you don't put Edelman on White is because that's not the kind of guy that White is best against. True. White's better against guys that are on the outside, that aren't as shifty. I mean, they could see it and practice it all year. Is White good against Beasley? If he isn't, then that's not who White plays against. He plays against a different type. We put our best DB, who's good at shifty slot guys, on Edelman, and he still beat us. And that's just credit Edelman, the piece of shit that he is, you know, fake an injury. What an awful human being he is. I can't stand him. Even
my missus laughed when he actually, when he went down like he was shot. And as soon as the flag touched his forearm, he thought, shit, up again. We're not getting called anything.
Yeah. Which then they made him go to the tent and go to get a concussion evaluation. So, I mean, it forced him to miss the end of the half. But at the same time, just, I mean, can't they just go away? I'm so sick of the Patriots.
There's
not another team in the league that is so easily hateable than them. If we're in the NFC South, you know, the Saints, good on, no, because they had, you know, what was it, Target Gate or whatever it's called when they, like, find, you know, what was it, when they were, like, incentivizing guys to target dirty hits. Yeah, Greg Williams being a junk person. All right, so who's a good team that has earned it? Now, Pete Carroll's annoying in Seattle. Green Bay, if we're in the NFC North and Green Bay's winning the division every year, you know, I at least respect that because Aaron Rodgers is, you know, he gets it, and there's not a guy on that team I think that you can hate. I think. I don't know. That might be the only other dominant team in the league over the last few years, but, man, I hate the Patriots so much. And I don't know. I mean, Brady, sure, he's had an up-and-down year, but I bet you he's back next year. I mean, they're just not going to stop.
It depends. I can see that I don't see him making the Super Bowl. I think he will probably go potentially at the end of the season.
They were able to. The problem is if they're playing at home, they're not going to lose at home. But Houston beat them. What we needed to have done was beat them so they don't get a second round home game.
Yeah, but then if Baltimore actually lock up the number one seed in the AFC Championship, Patriots are going to have to go to Baltimore.
Yeah, but don't you wish we were kind of going to do? I don't want to see Baltimore pick New England. I want to see Buffalo.
I completely agree, but I do believe that we are probably seeing the end of it. I mean, end of Brady, maybe not the end of Belichick at all, but we're probably seeing the slow demise, well, not demise, the slow removal from the game of Tom Brady, because he's a free agent at the end of the season, but Patriots are either going to have to sign him to a contract because they can't franchise tag him. He's got that clause in his contract that says he can't be franchise tagged. So it's either sign him or he retires, because I can't see him go anywhere else. And if they don't get to the Super Bowl, I think that could be his signal to think, okay, I've done what I can. It's the teams around us are actually starting to improve. I don't think I can get that seventh Super Bowl ring. I may just walk away with my rings held high above my head. But
yeah, you know, they've had so many. I mean, stop being greedy, just go away. They have $19 million in salary cap space for next year. In comparison, we have 79. So hopefully we spend some of that money to get some pieces. Hopefully that's not enough for them to re-sign Brady.
We have a lot more than 79 million. We've got about 19 million.
I think the number that I just got was from the beginning of the year or something. Oh, I don't know. But yeah, that was the first thing that came up on the website I was looking at. But yeah. So that was the Patriots game. Too many punts and too many missed tackles, right? That's one and two for you?
Pretty much, yes. I mean, as we've gone on to say, this offense, we've got a good offense in the making there. I mean, especially in Devin Singletary. He's rushed for 10-plus yards on 14 of his last 68 carries at 20.6%, which in the second half, which is the best among qualifying running backs. The league average is 10.4. And also the fact that Josh Allen's first four games this season were six touchdowns, six interceptions, and two fumbled losses. After that, 23 touchdowns combined. This is 17 pass, six rush, and three interceptions with two fumbled losses. So the offense is moving.
Could you imagine after that New England game in week four, where he threw three picks, that for the rest of the year he would only throw three more?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, no.
The progression that he's made over the season, while he's still throwing 50%, I mean, the last three games, 50, 52, 43. Before that, three really good games, 79, 60, 63. If that gets fixed, then we're kicking field goals. You know what I mean? If he throws for 10% more, then we're kicking two field goals, and the game is much different.
Yeah. I mean,
because then we got in field goal range to kick a game-winning field goal there, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's, I think, it's something to look forward to. As I say, we'll probably talk about this in the preview, but I don't think we might see much more of Josh Allen, at least for next week. But that's something we can review and talk about a little bit more in the review podcast, or the review, preview
you're
podcast.
You're fired. Oh my God.
And if you want to audition for the, to be the next host of the Red, White, Buffalo Blues, please send a, but no, we, in the preview for Jets, we can discuss that. I think towards the end, it's come to the end. I want to just end on a little bit of a brighter or a little bit of a festive note on there. And some of you saw on Twitter and on Facebook that I asked you to get in touch with three things, with three questions I asked. Which Bills players would you buy for, and what do you want for Christmas, Bills related? And your best Bills Christmas puns. Now, I am kind of disappointed that we didn't get that many in there, which is kind of annoying, because I know Alex was a bit upset and we're hoping to get a bit more festive.
The listeners just might respect us so much that they don't want to embarrass us on anything like that.
but I've got a few on here. I mean, Alex Warmall actually tweeted the podcast with a couple of pills. He goes, he's got one that's Nate Odoms for Christmas, Dawkins the Snowman, Let It Snow, Let It Zow, Let It Zow, and Metzalark, The Herald Angels Sing, and Santa Shady.
Well, we got to get this guy on the show. This guy's pun ready.
We got one from, well, I called him a rude name while I was actually talking to him about this, but Chris Spencer actually provided one, but he's given it to me on one condition, that I sing it.
And he asked you to do this, right? Not me? Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, great, great.
Yeah, so you got lucked out on this. So in my best singing voice, I'll go, On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a Devin Singletary.
You know, we got to get this guy on Eurovision, let me tell you. That was beautiful.
And another one I got is from, let's get up here, from Stephanie Tweets. She goes, all I want for Christmas is a Bills playoff win, wins in brackets. So
wins, get it. Yep.
I think everyone wants that. And
plural.
What was it? One last one I received. No, I've got a couple more. I've got my good friend, or the other co-host or the backup host, Rob, sent a few in, but I've got Buffalo Ceilings on Twitter at Low Buffer. He goes, playoff victories, all he wants for Christmas. More hype for John Brown. And
that's that's tough. I mean, hell, more height for everyone, please. I could be 6'1", please. That'd be great. I think we touched on that a few weeks ago.
And I don't have to sing this one out as well. Okay, yeah,
embrace it.
It goes, all I want for Christmas is the white face masks. That was poor.
Oh, those are good.
That was poor me singing, but good on there.
Going all white. I got one from a friend of mine back home. My buddy Rob sent in Feliciano Navidad instead of Feliz Navidad. Yes. Yeah. Feliciano Navidad.
And
that was good.
And our good friend Rob Newell, who's actually come on the show a few times, he's run through a few. He's got Oh Little Town of Beasleyhem.
Ooh, that's good.
No Room in the Shack. Star of Wonder. While Alan Watched the Herd by Night.
I'm missing like half of these.
Yeah, and Noxing
Day. Can someone please explain Boxing Day to me? I don't get it, but
no, neither do I. I just think it's another day off from work, so
there we go. That's all that matters, right?
But no, I think we'll start closing in there. It's the last show before Christmas. So, have you got anything else to say before we close it and look forward to the Jets preview show coming up at all?
I'm sorry, New York Jets. I'm gonna hit you with some Jay-Z. I'm not looking at you. I'm looking past you. I'm ready for the playoffs. Let's go.
And on that note, it's from me and Alex. It's good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Continue to subscribe, download, review, interact and support us. And for this time, until next time, Merry Christmas to all UK Bills fans in Europe and Bills fans across the pond and the world. Merry Christmas, season's greetings, and see you after Christmas.
Merry Christmas, go Bills.
Around the Christmas tree, have a happy holiday. Everyone's dancing merrily in the new old-fashioned way.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Not us.
Yeah, not us.
You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work.
No. Huh? No. That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three, Bills.